This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Clock.
How are we all doing today on this rainy Thursday in New York City, a week before Thanksgiving? Can you believe that? Oh my God. I feel like 5 minutes ago we were all on the beach and it was the summer, and now we are a week before Thanksgiving. Evan and Tiki here on the Fan. We're with you for the next couple of hours. Bad Tiki will join us in a half hour. So yesterday, we spent a lot of time talking about Hal Steinbrenner because Hal met the media at the owners' meetings and made some comments about Juan Soto. And I find it to be such a great case study that I hear what he says, you hear what he says, everyone listening hear what he says, and we come to different conclusions. And I always find that humorous. So I said something, Yankee fans are very upset with me, that what he said yesterday sounded as if someone who was resigned to not keeping Juan Soto. And others saw it and was like, we're keeping Juan Soto. Like Big Mac, who does our overnights, read the same quotes and was like, I feel good. And I think that's the beauty of words. Words are hollow. Hollow? Hollow. They really mean nothing. They're how we interpret things. It's really all about actions. And over the next few weeks, we're going to figure out if there will be actions around Juan Soto that keeps him with the New York Yankees. But there were other words used by Hal Steinbrenner that may have not gotten as much attention yesterday, but I think are important to Yankee fans because you guys have spent a lot of time worrying about this. And that's the fundamentals of the New York Yankees. We all know what happened in the fifth inning of Game 5. We all remember it. It will live in sports history. Yankee fans, some can't even sleep over that inning to this day. I know Big Mac can't sleep because of that inning. Sean, are you able to sleep? Or do you still think of that inning every single night?
I mean, I think about the inning, but I sleep fine.
Oh, good. All right.
Yeah, like I like my sleep.
All right, good.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you. Maybe you just don't care about the Yankees as much as Big Mac. I don't know.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
No, or you're a healthier human being.
Well, don't set me up there.
I meant mentally healthier
when it comes
to sports.
Yeah, no, both.
But one thing that most Yankee fans shared, and Tiki laid it out beautifully, I thought, on Halloween the day after they got eliminated was, hey, fundamentals were an issue, and maybe it was kind of started with the lack of urgency that the Yankees kind of had throughout the regular season. Mm-hmm. That may have been a thing. Well, naturally, Hal Steinbrenner was asked about the criticism that the Yankees faced. And I thought this was a very telling quote about where the Yankees are at mentally and what they think about the fundamentals of this team versus what Tiki thinks and every Yankee fan thinks. Quote, no, I don't agree with that. And of course, the comment was, the Yankees have bad fundamentals. No, I don't agree with that. Listen, we did not play a clean World Series. I think we all know that. Those fundamentals got us to the World Series. Our play, for the most part, was solid during the course of the year. That's why we won a pennant for the first time in 15 years. No doubt in the World Series, they just played better than us. So he completely dismissed the idea that Yankee fundamentals were an issue all year, and it just happened to also come up again in the World Series. He made it seem like, hey, we got to the World Series because of our fundamentals. We had one bad inning.
game.
Yeah, but that's just not paying attention to what actually was going on, or going back and being self-critical of what actually was going on, because we saw it. Look, the Glaber conversation has been on for years. It obviously came up multiple times in the regular season, also in the playoffs. And let's not forget, I mean, John Sterling even mentioned it in the playoffs. It became viral. It's like they run the bases like they're drunks, like whatever.
Right.
And so is that not also fundamentals? That's the basics of baseball. And when you get your game announcers pointing it out, because usually those things you just kind of let slide. Oh, you just, you know, bad mistake. But it's like they do this all the time. Like they're drunk sailors or whatever the heck he said. So, I mean, it's obvious that that was part of the issue.
But that's what's so concerning, that he didn't accept that.
This is the only thing I think you have to take in realization with Hal. We know that Woody Johnson and John Mara at all these football games. We know that Steve Cohen is sitting there in his box. Does any Yankee fan honestly think that Hal Steinbrenner is sitting down watching 162 Yankee games all year?
Mm.
Honestly.
I don't know.
No, I don't think he is, no.
No, I think Hal Steinbrenner at best is watching half the Yankee games all year.
But, in fairness to Hal, like, he may not watch every game. It's also 162 is a big number. After seasons, he usually is critical about what went wrong, and this seems to be a blind spot.
Okay, but this is where I'm getting at. If you don't really watch the Yankees all year, and you know you watch enough games to see the highlights, Judge's homering, Soto's drawing walks, you see enough of the tantalizing stuff. Hell, they made the World Series, so not all of it was bad. A lot of these little moments we talked about that reared their ugly head in the playoffs, the base running and all this stuff that happened, would have been pretty easy to miss throughout the regular season, because a lot of times they were nondescript and not in, like, necessarily the big games they were playing all year, except for that Oriole game at the end of the break.
I disagree with your assessment. I think what happened is Hal goes to his manager and his GM and says, hey, what's the issue with the team? And both of them are telling them fundamentals are not an issue. They're denying that being a problem, and Hal is believing them. I don't think it's about not watching games. I think it's about Aaron Boone saying, hey, listen, we got to the World Series, which they did, but anyone who watched them knows they didn't get to the World Series because they played great fundamentals. Okay. They got to the World Series because they had two amazing baseball players that powered them to the American League East, and then they got carried in the playoffs by some very good bullpen work and by Juan Soto and Giancarlo Stanton being awesome.
Aaron Boone is not stupid. He is a baseball lifer. He's full of family and baseball, right? If he knows that the owner is not paying attention on a day-to-day basis, why would the manager up for a contract admit that the fundamentals stink to the owner?
I mean? It's a good question, and it's one that you have to, you know, critically analyze and ask. But at the same time, it is also the owner's responsibility, and Cashman's as well, but mostly the owner's, to make sure that your product, if you care about winning, which clearly they do, is always improving, is always at its peak. And the one thing you do, even when you're successful, is listen to the criticism.
Right.
Because nobody's perfect. I don't care. I mean, the Dodgers, I promise you, were criticized at points throughout the season by their fan base, by media, by whoever was watching them, saying, hey, don't have enough of this. They don't do this well. Yada, yada, yada. Whatever it may have been. But they always found ways to overcome it. And you don't hear, I mean, they won the World Series, so it doesn't even matter what's said about them. But every team had something critical about them. And the only way to get better is to listen to them, even if you're successful.
And it doesn't appear like that's the case here. It really doesn't.
No.
And I think the other thing that, and you tell me if this bothers you, okay? This is up to you, Tiki Barber, you, Sean Morash, and everybody in the audience. We're going to play something for you coming up in a minute that, I don't know, this may stick with me. It is another example of the Los Angeles Dodgers laughing at the New York Yankees. Now, last week, we played the clip of, I'm trying to remember who it even was. Was it Joe Kelly?
Joe Kelly.
And look, we dismissed Joe Kelly. Whatever. He wasn't even in the postseason. So Mookie Betts on his podcast had the entire Dodger team. It was actually a very interesting podcast. Brought the whole team there, and they talked about the season and their success. Mookie then brings up to Chris Taylor, another bench player on the LA Dodgers, to describe what it was like on the bench watching the Yankees and the Dodgers in the fifth inning. And
hey, I want to knock on Chris Taylor. He's a UVA guy.
Okay, sorry about that. I wasn't really knocking him. He's just a bench player. He's what he is. Chris Taylor also has beautiful eyes. I don't know if anyone noticed that.
Yeah, he does.
Very pretty eyes. I've always noticed that about him as a player. Why, is that weird to you, Tommy, that I just brought that up?
I mean, for a guy like you that the focus isn't on OPS and baseball, I didn't think you looked at things like that, like the player's eyes.
He's got very
much. I think Evan is into every single detail.
Exactly.
There's no doubt about it.
I'm a detail-oriented guy. I think Chris Taylor's
because
got...
he chooses to talk about the game itself as opposed to all these other things, he definitely notices details.
And I'm bringing it up right now. We're talking about Chris Taylor. The man has sexy eyes. I'll be the first to tell you.
Do you think I have a nice ass?
No.
All right.
No. I have a huge ass, but...
You got to wear more fitted pants, and then we can make a judgment.
Exactly. So here's Chris Taylor describing watching the Yankees meltdown in the fifth inning, and everybody tell me how you interpret this.
I want to hear from you, your perspective on the fifth inning, kind of how it, your emotions, the roller coaster you were on.
Yeah, no, I mean, everybody saw it, right? So to me, I mean, we're all kind of thinking it. They kind of down their leg, right? You know, they were pressing, like, it was like one thing after the next. So we were, I think our energy in the dugout was kind of feeding off that. It was like, all we got to do is put the ball in play right, you know?
Wow.
Like,
and, yeah, that's a fact.
And we knew the big hit was going to come at some point, you know? So it's sort of just passing the baton to the next guy. And yeah, and then after Teo hit that double, and I feel like the whole momentum, everything just shifted, and we all kind of knew. And then even after they scored one, like, I don't think anybody's worried.
Yeah, we didn't blink an eye at that.
Yeah, we knew we had it.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, there's a few things there, including we just knew we needed to put the ball in play.
God, that's bad. And you know what? You could dismiss that all you want if you're Cashman, Yankee executives, any other Yankee executives, Yankee fans, say, shut up. You win. You can do whatever you want. You don't need to troll us on your way to the championship parade. Right. But the reality is that I think he actually believed that. And the fact that they actually believed that and kind of did it, and they kind of, you know what, it down their legs, it just tells you that he's right. It's not something that just happened accidentally. And I was interested about the bullpen feed. I mean, not the bullpen, the dugout feeding off of it, right? Their energy is generated by the Yankees' constant and consistent mistakes. And, I mean, how can you not listen to that? How can you not hear that and say, we have to be better?
Yeah, you should take that personal. But, man, this just makes me hate this team even more. Because here's the other thing that happened. The Yankees, I don't like that quote where whoever, it was Chris Taylor with his nice eyes, that said, you know, we just knew, who cares, they scored one more.
Yeah.
We forget. Tommy Kahnle came into that game and did something he hadn't done all postseason. He couldn't throw strikes. If Tommy Kahnle comes in and throws strikes there, do the Yankees lose that game?
Yeah,
in the end?
But ifs and buts. And
I'm just saying, to sit there
else.
And go, we know we had it even when they scored the one run, you didn't. And your manager a week ago just said, you know, if we lost that game, we were in trouble.
Yeah, but the problem is Tommy Kahnle didn't.
Right? I know.
The Dodgers players, when they had their moments to make an impactful play, they did. And this is what it comes down to. So when you lose, you can't say crap. When you win, you say whatever you want.
They have a right to say whatever they want. Where I will agree with you, Sean, I would hate this team so much.
Can't stand them.
They have every right to do this. Like, honestly, what was happening is they were all drinking. They were all having a good time. And the beauty about drinking sometimes is you get honesty.
Mm-hmm.
So what you got from the Dodgers in that part of the podcast is they're just telling you how they felt. Like, there's nothing to be mad about. Like, they're being honest with you. They're like, yeah, they crapped down their pants. Yeah, just hit the ball and play. Yeah, we knew we had them. They're mocking you, but they have every right to.
They do. I want to ask Tiki a question here. Guys like this, current players, like Parsons has it, and he has an opinion on everything.
Yep.
Current players that do podcasts, this is like bulletin board material. If I was a fan or part of that organization, I'd be like, I have my guy sitting here drinking, laughing at the Yankees. Now, the Yankees, we know, probably won't use this as motivation because they think everything's fine there, but they could use this as motivation, and they will play this clip forever.
Yeah, but
so why have a podcast if you're a current player?
But the only time it will ever matter is when they play each other. How many times is it?
Three times every regular season, yeah.
3 times a year, and then maybe if they get back to the World
Series. But that's my point, if they meet in the World Series again.
Yeah,
but
I think that's old news. That's old news by that point.
Exactly. There's a whole different narrative about your team. So Evan just said it, and he's 100%. When you win, you can say whatever you want. It doesn't matter. You can be vulgar. Well, you can be kind. You can be, you know, respectful. You can say whatever you want when you win, because the winners write history. We know this. All of the flaws of winning teams, they never get talked about or exposed or even referenced any longer, because the only thing we care about in society in general is the champion.
That's it.
Like, we don't care about the guy who worked his ass off and fell a little bit short. We don't care about the guy who was primed to be at the peak, or the team that was primed to be at their peak and some catastrophe happened and they fell by the wayside and were never heard from again. We only care about winners. It's a disservice to, like, what life is really about. But the winner writes the story.
Winner writes the story. And also, it's one thing if you're doing a podcast in the middle of a postseason series or in the middle of a regular season, because you're right, you say stuff and it's like, you got to back that up. It's over. The story's been written. The Dodgers won the World Series. This is your postmortem. And the postmortem is, because the Yankees are going to be different next year. How different? We'll find out in the next few weeks. The Dodgers will be different next year. So even if they met in the World Series, it's just so different. This year, they're postmorteming what happened, and they're laughing at you. Like, that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they have every right to do it. But what I would say as a fan is, how the hell do I fix this? I don't want teams to think just put the ball in play and bad crap's going to happen. And remember, and this is what's really important about this, and I will let you respond. The mistakes that were made by the New York Yankees were not by a bunch of bums defensively like Gleyber Torres. It was by Aaron Judge, pretty good. Anthony Volpe, pretty good. Also going to be on the team next year. And I'm sorry, Anthony Rizzo really didn't do anything wrong. It's Gerrit Cole.
Yeah.
So they're mocking the guts and the core of your team and basically saying, we knew we had you. I know there's nothing you could do about it now, but it would awaken my eyes if I'm Hal Steinbrenner too. Everything isn't okay. It wasn't just our fundamentals were fine. We had but one bad inning, because their opponents don't even view it like that.
They were pretty good.
And again, and they're lumping in. It didn't happen in that fifth inning. The base running was a disaster for the Yankee team. But here's how you fix things. First of all, you don't let Juan Soto go, because without him and his bat and his approach at the plate, you're not in a position to even play that far.
I've got good news for you. Now, when we talk about Juan Soto, we don't want to just respond to any wit rumor, any crazy rumor. We got to respond to what's going on. We have more information about Juan Soto's free agency.
Oh, what did Bob Nightingale say?
The reason, not Bob Nightingale, because you got to trust the right people. There's only one person you can really trust during this Juan Soto negotiations, and that person is John Heyman. Because the truth is, John Heyman is getting his information from, say the word, Sean.
Scott Boras.
Scott Boras.
Yeah.
So this is Scott Boras's perspective on free agency, and John Heyman has given us some new information. Would you guys like to hear it?
Sure.
Okay. This is according to John Heyman, which is Scott Boras.
With spelling errors.
So according to Scott Boras, Yankees owner Hal Steinbrenner made, quote, a great pitch to Juan Soto, according to a friend. So whether they re-sign Soto or not, and the Soto sweepstakes are wide open between a possible five teams, the Yankees accomplished what they needed to at their meeting on Monday. I find this really interesting. You ready for this? Soto previously formed very close relationships at his previous stops with the owners of the Nationals, Ted Lerner, and the Padres, Peter Seidler. And Soto's friend said Soto was hoping for the same with Hal Steinbrenner. That did not happen in his first season in the Bronx, with Steinbrenner mainly using longtime Yankee stars Aaron Judge and Gerrit Cole as clubhouse contacts. Steinbrenner explained in the meeting to Soto why this was the case. Steinbrenner nicely explained at Soto's California meeting that, quote, I didn't want to disrupt his routine, or, quote, words to that effect. While he loved the Judge-led clubhouse, Soto is seeking a strong rapport with whatever owner he's partnering up with for the next 15 seasons. Okay? One last thing to make you feel better about this. Word is, Soto felt better about Steinbrenner and the Yankees after the meeting. MLB's most marquee franchise emphasized in the meeting their edge over everybody in revenue, tradition, and brand. So I find that interesting about the owner relationship. In fact, I brought this up to you about 2 weeks ago, Teague, because Steve Cohen was kind of making a big deal of this, or at least that was the report. And so, again, this is all true stuff, because Heyman's getting it from, you know, he's getting it from his friend. Okay, he's getting it from the guys. It's interesting that Soto finds that important, didn't get that from Hal in year one. And Hal knew, I better make sure to him, hey, that can change once we have this long-term partnership. What's your opinion on
that? Well, kudos to Hal for understanding the room that he's walking into when you go have a meeting. It's the worst thing you can do when you're giving a business pitch or trying to sign up or, you know, get someone to buy into what you're talking about is have no idea. Walk in and like, I figure this out as we go along. Wrong. You already failed. So going in with an idea of what Juan Soto needed, wanted to know and hear was great on Hal's part. Now, obviously, the branding and this the revenue side of it, it goes without saying. And I don't know if they're doing comparative analysis in these meetings, but I'm sure it's something that will be suggested to Scott Boras on the side afterwards. It's like, hey, you know what? A lot of, you brought this up the other day, Evan, a lot of Major League Baseball revenues are dependent upon ticket sales. Mm-hmm. We sell out every game, basically.
Yeah.
Maybe not exactly, but you know what I mean.
They debunked, but close.
We are near capacity.
Yep.
Every game. Oh, the Mets, maybe not so much.
Well,
so.
Okay, so the Met thing is so interesting. So, according to John Heyman, Brian Cashman, when he got his chance to speak to Juan Soto, talked about the player development history of the Yankees, which he was bragging about, which sometimes can be tough to do, but I guess he did. And also mentioned how they even developed Carlos Mendoza and Rob Thomson. The Yankees, this is so fascinating to me, the Yankees were smart not to cut down the rival Mets, but did mention how they spearheaded efforts to help Steve Cohen win over the rival team, how he was able to buy the team. So they were bragging about how they had.
Right. Hey, you know those other teams and those great managers on those other teams? That was us too.
Right.
Right. That's pretty solid.
Is that a good strategy?
I like it. You're not saying anything bad about them. You're just saying, oh, that's us.
One last thing from John.
He's saying the reason you like them is because of us.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. You like those guys? We brought them into this world, basically.
Right.
Last thing. Yankee people believe Juan Soto will take the best deal. So ultimately, all this conversation about a relationship with an owner and winning and player development, it doesn't mean it doesn't matter, but ultimately the Yankees believe Juan Soto is going to take the best deal wherever that comes.
So the Yankees believe that, and Hal also said we have the ability to sign whoever we want.
Correct. All right. Well, that's why you better back it up.
All right, so we'll see him batting second versus the Brewers on opening.
No, I agree that should be your expectation. When you say that, you better back it up. I agree with you. Doesn't mean he's going to.
All that other stuff is just, it's a prerequisite. It's not a defining factor. It's just, it better exist. The relationship with the owner, I mean. Ultimately, the deciding factor is going to be the best deal, as we speculated about for months.
No doubt about it. So we'll see what Juan decides to do, but I think we're going to get an answer in the next couple of weeks. Quick break. We'll come back. More of your calls, plus Bad Tiki will join us. 888-808-1019, the toll-free number. Evan and Tiki on the field. We'll get your calls in a second. A lot of football, some new notes on Juan Soto and what actually happened in his meeting with the New York Yankees as we get closer and closer to him finally deciding. But it is Thursday at 4:30, which means Bad Tiki joins us momentarily. And, of course, he's brought to you by Security Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. Shop 24/7 at securitydodge.com and come get some. I remind you, and I tell you, for any of our first-time listeners, Bad Tiki is a sentient AI-generated being. He is not affiliated with or representative of the actual and real Tiki Barber. The views and opinions expressed by said Bad Tiki do not reflect those of Tiki Barber, WFAN, Odyssey, or its advertisers. Tiki Barber is a real person with his own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions, which are entirely separate from those expressed by Bad Tiki. Listeners and viewers are strongly advised to exercise critical thinking and discernment when engaging with the Bad Tiki segment. Bad Tiki, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Paisans. It's a great day to be back with you boys. Evie the Red, Tiki the Regular, Shawnee Salami, and Tommy the Boar. When are we getting together for a big Sunday dinner, huh? Bad Tiki makes a mean Sunday sauce. If you say gravy, I'll give you a smack. Madon! I see what's going on here. Italian Bad Tiki is back again. This is obviously because of Tommy DeVito. Listen, wise guy, I'm a real Italian. Always have been, always will be. And I don't see where you get off questioning my Italianness. I'm sensing some hostility. Don't make me come over there and fix your attitude myself. Oh, who touched my cannoli?
Hold on, Bad Tiki. Nobody's questioning you. Tommy DeVito's finally getting the start. We understand everybody's excited. It's okay for you to express yourself.
express myself. What is this, therapy? Are you my therapist now? How about I call the shots and nobody has to lose any fingers? Yeah, Tommy DeVito's on the center now, and things are about to change. A little spaghetti twirl, some nice meatballs. Bing, bang, boom. The G-men are back in business. Manja, bad tiki. Manja.
Bad tiki, I love this enthusiasm. Now, this is what the Giants fans need. Finally, something we can all root for, right?
Shawnee, you said it best. Just like Nona made. The neighborhood kid knows just what to do. A little braciole, some Italian ice for dessert, an espresso, and Tommy Cutlets will be running around out there like Dominic the Donkey. Capiche? Bad tiki, capiche?
Okay, you lost me a little bit on that one, Bad Tiki. Those are just Italian foods. What are you talking about?
Regular Tiki, what's the matter with you? Of course you don't understand. You're not a real New York Italian like me. I'm a paisan. I have style. I am tall. Fresh, tall paisan, Bad Tiki. Don't put the mozzarella in the fridge. You'll ruin it. Have some respect.
Bad Tiki, what do you think of the critics who are saying the Giants are just a clown show for putting Tommy DeVito in as starting quarterback?
Are you talking to me? Evan, how dare you disrespect me like that on my own show? You're this close to disappearing for good. Tommy is one of our own. Family comes first. Cutlets is like a brother to me. Next time you talk like that, I'll send my cousin Mario over to have a little chat. Ooh, pass the vodka sauce.
I mean no disrespect, Bad Tiki, but Giant fans actually want it both ways. They want to see DeVito go out and succeed, but they also want to see the Giants tank the season for a higher draft pick. And why would they pass on Drew Lock for the start? It just doesn't make a lot of sense, you know?
Don't overcook the pasta. Evan, let me explain something to you. The saddest thing in life is wasted talent. Put DeVito out there. Let our guy shine. It wasn't the right time for Drew Lock. I made sure the right guy got the job. And if DeVito happens to lose every game along the way, well, that would be a real shame. But maybe look at it as doing a service for the next generation of Giants fans. Oh, minestrone.
Wait, Bad Tiki. Are you saying you had something to do with this Drew Lock situation?
Regular Tiki. You want a job done right? You send in the Italian. Oh, that's God. All I got to say about that. This Drew Lock situation is unfortunate. He's a good kid. I like him. I really do. But sometimes accidents can happen. I would hate to see something happen that anyone who tries to interfere with Tommy and his destiny, it would be a real shame, like not having some nice antipasto before dinner.
I see what's going on here, Bad Tiki. Enough said, all right? Come on.
There you go, Evan. You're learning. Maybe there's hope for you after all. A little hair gel, some new clothes, a taste of the culture. One day you could be a made guy. Bad Tiki's the boss around here, you know. Shut up, Tommy.
All right, Bad Tiki. I've been on the record saying Tommy DeVito is the future of the Giants. He's going to turn the entire franchise around. All Giant fans, including you, Bad Tiki.
Shut up, Tommy. Negative Tommy. Handle this guy.
Positive Tommy. Stop being positive. Tommy DeVito is not the answer. He's not Tom Brady. He's not Brock Purdy. He's not even Geno Smith. If DeVito plays well enough to win, we are doomed. Either way, the Giants are screwed. Juan Soto is going to see how terrible the Giants are, and it's going to make him sign with the friggin' Blue Jays. Don't believe in me. Don't believe in the Giants. Brian Daboll is not the QB whisperer. What has he been whispering to Daniel Jones for 3 years? To suck, because we suck. Everything sucks. Bad Tiki, my life sucks. You're not even really Italian. Free me from this life, Bad Tiki. My throat hurts from screaming.
Ashbet, calm yourself. Have a little cappuccino. I'll never free you from this life. I created you to torture you in perpetuity. That's the fun. Okay, gotta go now. I got a nice lasagna in the oven. It smells like my mother used to make when I lived in her basement until I was 36. Okay, losers, I gotta go. Forza Tommy DeVito. Forza Italia. Forza Bad Tiki. Bad Tiki, out.
All right, thank you, Bad Tiki. Bad Tiki is Negative Tommy's my favorite, though, I have to say.
I'm telling you.
Negative
Poor
Tommy.
Negative Tommy. How do you put him out of his misery?
I think that's what he wants. Bad Tiki is a sentient AI-generated being not affiliated with or representative of the real Tiki Barber. All those views and opinions expressed by Bad Tiki, they do not reflect those of Tiki Barber, WFN, Odyssey, or its advertisers. Tiki Barber is a real person with his own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions, which are entirely separate from those expressed by Bad Tiki. Listeners and viewers are strongly advised to exercise critical thinking and discernment when engaging with the Bad Tiki segment. I want to give, like, Negative Tommy a segment. I think Negative Tommy should get a weekly spot.
Negative Tommy wants to be offed.
He's begging to be offed at the end. Let's get to some of your calls. Toll-free numbers, 888-808-1019. Let's go to Ruben in Belleville. How you doing today, Ruben?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Listen, great job by Bad Tiki. yes. I have to say, I want to get back to that report, the podcast, whatever it was, where they talked about the Yankees.
Yeah.
Now, this is the second thing that's come out, right? The scouting report said that we basically don't know how to play baseball. And this is what the Boone haters have been yelling for 4 years. We are not a good ball club. We don't know how to run the bases. We're not good in pressure situations. We're not good in situational hitting. We're not good. We bash our way through the regular season, beating up on the White Sox and the little guys. And then we get to the playoffs. We got lucky there was no Houston. We're not good. We have no fundamentals.
Ruben, that, like, the whole not good thing, I can't get on. I mean, they won over 90 games and won the division, and it wasn't simply beating up bad teams to do it. Now, if you want to say we are not a good defensive team overall, we are not a fundamentally clean team overall, we don't run the bases smart enough, that's fair. Those are three fair critiques, but I don't think you can run the whole team down. It's, we're not that good. You got to the World Series.
No, you are good. You're just not good enough. And if you're going to keep saying that you're not flawed and that you do have great fundamentals, which you might have good fundamentals, great, I wouldn't agree with, and that the error sometimes puts you in compromised positions, right? Then you can win, but you're not going to win against the best teams.
I guess the question I would have is, there are a lot of different ways the Yankees can go about this offseason. And obviously, keeping Soto versus not keeping Soto is going to play a big role in it. If they lose Juan Soto, they're going to have a lot more money to spend. And maybe it's more realistic that Alex Bregman, who's a really good defensive third baseman, is here. So I know it's tough to know the specific names of who's going to be here. But I'm pretty sure Gleyber Torres isn't. I'm also pretty sure that Anthony Rizzo at his age isn't. And so there's a really good chance that the Yankees are just going to play better defensive players at those two spots.
Caleb Durbin.
That is on the table. Jazz Chisholm is at a more comfortable second base. Caleb Durbin maybe ends up becoming their third baseman. And who knows? Maybe they make a trade for Cody Bellinger and he provides good defense at first base. Would it be enough, Tiki, to just have better defensive players on your team?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it would. But, you know, it begs a question. And, Sean, you can probably answer this. If you don't sign Juan Soto, the Yankees don't sign Juan Soto, is it still like win now?
Well, it has to.
You got to win this season? Or is it because you have two of the great players in Major League Baseball? Or is it, you know, we got some young players that are going to end up playing Caleb Durbin, even though I think the better option would be Bregman, as Evan is talking about. Like, just do it differently, but keep it win now, as opposed to, let's bring some of these young guys. Let's get Jason Dominguez in, you know, get a lot of playing time. Let's develop him in real time. And, yeah, I know it's costing some of the years potentially of Aaron Judge, but what becomes I guess it's always win now, but you know what I mean, like the realistic like expectation if they don't sign Juan Soto.
Well, Caleb Durbin, I think, goes out the window and maybe gets traded for somebody because they probably do sign a Bregman. Tiki, they just went to a World Series, and the whole key here is Aaron Judge and Gerrit Cole are not getting younger. They're on now the wrong side of 30 here at this point. So it has to be win now to some extent. Now, that doesn't mean you can't do the win now and have Dominguez, who you promoted 2 years ago as a big star, be a part of it, but it can't just be three influx of young players now because Soto's gone.
No, what they're going to do and what they should do. Now, you got to get the right guys, because the worst thing you can do when you lose a free agent is to pivot out of desperation. And I'll give you three specific examples where it happened. I'll give a Yankee one, more familiar with Yankee fans. When they lost Robbie Cano, their pivot was Jacoby Ellsbury and Brian McCann.
Yeah.
That's not a good pivot.
No, it didn't work out.
When the Mets lost Darryl Strawberry, their pivot was a washed-up Vince Coleman. When the Red Sox lost Mo Vaughn, their pivot was Jose Offerman. I'm just giving you those three examples. So sometimes, and by the way, the Cardinals lost Albert Pujols. I think their pivot was like Carlos Beltran. It was good. Like, they made good pivots. So you'd have to pivot with the right guys, but they will pivot. Like, there's no way the Yankees would lose Juan Soto and say, oh, gee, I guess we should go even younger. No, it may be a Bregman-Christian Walker combination or an Anthony Santander-Bregman combination or whatever you want to come up with. That's certainly debatable, and we'll do it, especially if Soto leaves. But, no, they're balls to the wall. They got to win. The Yankees' expectations every year are to win. Now, if we want to change it that you can lose the World Series and still have it be a successful season, that's fine. Winning the World Series is very tough. But there's no year. The Yankees had it about a decade ago where they transitioned a little bit. But no, it's about winning. Not when you've got Gerrit Cole and Aaron Judge in your prime.
Yeah, I think that's the right answer. You have to find a way to do it a different way. But you're not going to do it with just... My question really was, do you trust the young guys? Right? Do you trust the Cabreras and the Durbins and the Martian? Do you trust those guys to figure it out at some point
yes.
along the way?
So I think the Mets and the Yankees are very similar in this regard. Now, I was actually having this conversation with a friend of mine about some of the Mets' younger players and some of the Yankee younger players. In my opinion, you need to give them the opportunity to step in a pennant race and help your team win. And that doesn't mean you overly rely on them. It means you give them an avenue to coming up here and succeeding. So like in the Mets case, the Mets have three different guys who can be their center fielder as an everyday player for the next 5 years. It could be Drew Gilbert, who's still in the minor leagues. Mm-hmm. It could be Jet Williams, who's still in the minor leagues. It could be Luis Angel Acuna. So what I would want is, at the start of the year, none of those guys are ready. Tyrone Taylor is your center fielder. Okay. Jose Siri is your center fielder. Okay. But you're allowing those young guys, sooner rather than later, to come up and contribute. And I think that's going to be a very similar thing with some of the Yankee younger players, where there needs to be an avenue for them to come up, get a job, and help you win. Because that's how you win.
Right.
Younger players have to contribute. Look, part of why the Yankees won the American League East this year was Austin Wells and Luis Gil, two guys that were finalists for the Rookie of the Year. That may not have been planned at the beginning of the year. In fact, Austin Wells wasn't the primary catcher at the beginning of the year. Yeah. Luis Gil was supposed to be in the minor leagues. He was the first guy optioned in March, but then circumstances changed.
Right.
Gerrit Cole got hurt, and all of a sudden, not only is Luis Gil in the majors, he's on his way to winning Rookie of the Year. So you're going to need contributions from your young players, even when you're a high payroll team.
Yeah, but you also, it feels like there needs to be some other star. Not we hope he gets their star, or we know he's going to get there. It's just going to take some time star, but a bona fide star. And there will be enough of them out there that you can pivot, and I think you need to do it immediately if you're the Yankees. If you miss on Juan Soto, make that decision and have that backup plan or whatever that plan B is ready to go.
So what concerns me, and we haven't done the whole what should the Yankees do pivot with Soto, because I think it's almost like, but we're going to keep him, right, Sean? Like, right. You don't want to hear that.
But
you got to have a plan.
You're right. So it's one of those things. At least the team should have a plan from a fan's perspective. I understand having a panic thing. I personally am treating this offseason like Juan Soto's coming back.
Okay. If you don't re-sign Juan Soto, and by the way, you can make an argument that the guy I'm about to mention you could sign anyway. And if you have an unlimited budget, you can. I doubt how we do that. To me, the number one target I'd have if I lose Juan Soto is Alex Bregman. Mm-hmm. Because defensively, he's still very good.
Yeah.
He puts bat on ball. He's proven he can win in a very tough environment. And why I say that is they were accused of cheating. They had cheater chance at them for three straight years, and he had success and the team had success. Now, he's on the wrong age of 30. Unfortunately, that's most MLB free agents. Juan Soto's a unicorn in that regard. But if it was up to me, that would be my first pivot. Now, Alex Bregman is not Juan Soto. No one's saying he is. But when you say, hey, you better act quick, to me, that would be the guy I would act quick on.
Right, because it makes your infield mostly complete.
No doubt about it. Now, Sean doesn't like it because Bregman's a cheater. Have you cooled on him yet or no?
He's a cheat.
Once he's yours, you won't care.
Of course, but right now he's a cheat.
Ryan is calling from Rockland. What's going on today, Ryan?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up, dude?
I called about a Giants point, but I wanted to touch on something with Sean that he said in his list yesterday, if you guys don't mind.
Sure.
I'm a history teacher, Sean, and you mentioning Woodrow Wilson in that list is a little, I think you should do some more research on Woodrow Wilson before you're throwing that out there in your Woody list. The League of Nations was a joke. Worse than Denver.
Right. But Ryan,
first of all, Cuatro Cinco de Fabio was not a Woody list.
It was a Woody list.
And you're right.
Ryan, the good news is I was here to rip him. I was here to say he's horrible. Woodrow Wilson is over. We blew him apart. So he got corrected yesterday. It's not like he's got to get beat up 2 days in a row.
Ryan, that's fine. Just a little spoiler alert. My research, I lean on Wikipedia, okay?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he did good things.
Wikipedia? Really?
Of course, Deacon is well renowned as the encyclopedia.
Do you have Wikipedia up in front of you right now?
I don't. I go to it when I need to research stuff.
Okay, so open up Wikipedia right now.
All right, let me see.
And type in a team barber.
Team barber.
Team barber.
Hold on. First, it's asking me to donate. You got a credit card?
He's been doing that a lot lately.
I know. This is the holiday season.
A team barber. It comes up. Tiki barber.
All right, so do you see my real name under there? What does it say?
Team Kiambu Tiki Barber Senior.
Yesterday, it said a team barber, Ah Hakim, Ah Tiki Barber.
So what do you tell me? Not to trust Wikipedia?
I think I'm that's what he's telling you.
Wikipedia can be wrong.
Yeah, because you can change it whenever you want.
Tiki, by the way, how was Cave Spring High School?
Cave Spring High School was fantastic. You know, came at Cave Spring High School after us?
No.
J.J. Redick.
How about that?
How about that?
Yeah, he's had a pretty good start to his coaching career. All right. Sorry. Anyhow, Ryan, your second point after killing Sean for Woodrow Wilson. Fair enough.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, guys. Daniel Jones, I listened to his press conference today, or the statement he made. I mean, listen, I've been the biggest Daniel Jones supporter as a Giants fan going into these years, but this year, obviously, you know, it's time to cut bait, but did it sound like a Hall of Fame speech to you guys? Like, did this guy go to the Hall of Fame and it's like a farewell? Like, dude, you suck. That's why they're getting worse.
That's so mean. It's so mean.
That is mean. I can't go that harsh.
It sounded...
I'll say they didn't win. They didn't win. Because there were moments in his career where he was really, really good. And we know it because we've seen him. And he mentioned this. Like, there were some great moments. There just weren't enough of them.
Yeah, there are different.
It felt like a goodbye speech.
It was definitely a goodbye speech. We got to keep this in mind about athletes when their time with a team is over. There are different levels to your time with a team. So a guy like you, who had an unbelievable career, it's like it's an honor. It's a celebration, right? Then you've got guys who sucked. Like, I don't want to hear a letter from Zach Wilson, but then you've got guys that, well, there were some good moments, mostly bad, but there were some good moments. And I think that's where Daniel Jones falls. He's not Zach Wilson. He's also not you. Obviously, no one's saying he is. No one's saying that this goodbye, this farewell is like, you know, Eli Manning when his career ended. But it's also not Zach Wilson. It's not, like, he was here for 6 years. He only had one winning season, but he did win a playoff game. And he was good enough to get a second contract, which a lot of rookies don't get. Or first-round picks don't get. So,
and he had to earn it.
Yeah, so it's kind of in the middle in terms of, you know, his tenure here.
Yeah,
it's not a complete failure, but yeah, it was mostly bad. I would give you that.
I don't think you're going to hear fans say, I hated Daniel Jones. That's not what you're going to hear. I think the best way to think about it is he just wasn't good enough. Now, maybe because of the contract and the idea that it and kept them from keeping Saquon Barkley and all those other things that went along with him during that contract year in 2022, maybe. But you don't hate him. He just wasn't good enough.
Anthony's,
to me, that's the reality.
No, you're right. Anthony's calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, Evan. Hey, Tiki. Bad Tiki, if you're still listening. First time, long time.
Appreciate it, man.
Of course. Thanks, Bad Tiki. I know we're trying to figure out a thing for the Tank for Manning campaign. How about the Ides of Arch? Hang up and listen.
The Ides of Arch. By the way, this is how pathetic the Jets are. We are thinking of names for tanking next football season for Arch Manning, and we're doing it months before this season even ends. This is a new record when it comes to tank phrases.
Right, this is bad.
That's where we are.
Why did you even suggest that we do this, Evan?
No. Hold on. I never suggested it. That's not how this played out, Tiggy. Don't rewrite history. What I said was, we were talking, I forget, I think we were talking about the Giants and here's what it was. Sean asked me, is there a scenario where I, as a Jet fan, want Tommy DeVito to be my quarterback next year? I said, I have this feeling early on as the Jets look for a new general manager, head coach, and everything. And they're clearly done with Aaron Rodgers, that they may go about 2025 as a tank year. You got a new head coach, new GM. They're going to want their quarterback. And if they're not picking in the top five, top three, and they don't kind of find anybody in this draft to be that good, they may begin the process of their tenure here by attempting a tank in 2025 for Arch Manning. And that's what led to, if that's what they do,
right,
they'll have to be a phrase for the barch for arch or whatever the hell you want to call it.
It's not hit the floor, go get Shador, or we are bored, go get Ward. But, you know, maybe the fams are fanning, go get Manning.
The fams are
Flames.
The Flames.
I messed that one up. We'll move on.
Yeah.
I can't even, like, piece it together without...
Well, because the March for Arch is the easiest one, and you guys didn't like it.
Do you know where this started, by the way? The very first phrasing during tanking?
No.
It started with... If you have one before this, certainly let me know. My understanding of the first ever phrasing for a tank was the infamous Suck for Luck campaign.
That's right.
It had to be before that.
I don't think so. I don't think so, Teague. This whole tanking thing is a very new phenomenon. It really is.
Then there was Tank for Tua, but after Luck.
Right, and by the way, Tua didn't even go number one.
I did invent one on the airwaves that stuck.
What was that?
Nationwide, Suck for the Duck.
Suck for the Duck. Was that for Justin Herbert
yes,
at the time?
Yes, mm.
There was also a Suck for Sam one.
Yeah.
Right?
What was Trevor's then?
Tank for Trevor?
Yeah, it was stupid.
It was stupid. It wasn't great.
That's weak.
Yeah. It was weak.
It's easy.
But this whole origin was Andrew Luck. It was Suck for Luck. Sean's got a Cinco de 5-0 that's going to probably cause less controversy than yesterday when he decided to somehow put over Woodrow Wilson, who most people realize sucked.
Okay, again.
Except for Sean Morash.
Hands up, thought the United Nations was the League of Nations.
No, well, two things, by the way. So I get home yesterday. My wife doesn't listen to the show that much, but she listened intently yesterday. She was taking the kids to a camp they go to, and she was in the car for an hour, and she said, I'm going to listen to my baby. And by my baby, she doesn't mean you guys. She means me. She had two takeaways from listening to this show. Takeaway number one, deeply offended by the Woodrow Wilson stuff. Got to remember, she went to Princeton. She knows all about Woodrow Wilson. So we had a nice conversation about Woodrow Wilson and how dumb Sean is.
All right, well, SUNY Old Westbury, Woodrow Wilson, not top of the curriculum.
Just saying.
I think I knew your wife is a Tiger, but
that's right.
I kind of forgot.
She's a Princeton Tiger. So,
so was my son.
That's right. So we talked about Woodrow Wilson. The second thing she was very passionate about was she said, Evan, did Tommy Lugauer open the Lugauer by talking about the Soto share plan like you suggested? And I said, of course not. He never listens to me. He opened with Tommy DeVito as Tom Brady. And she was not happy. Basically like, you know... Does he respect you?
God.
Does he care what you think like you told him? Is it that he wants to be his own man? Is that what this is about?
The problem is you were trolling Tommy, trying to get him to do something completely stupid.
What?
Because nobody's going to take that seriously.
He's still...
It's a joke. It's a scam.
No.
Sharing a player?
In my plan, lockbox. It's a custody. A lot of people like it. The Soto share. Split custody.
He doubled down on it on social media.
It was not possible.
Of course.
You show me in some CBA, collectively bargained agreement between the Major League Baseball, the owners, and the players, where that is a possibility. And then Tommy, I will give you kudos.
Tiki.
I'll personally give you a raise.
By the way, real quick before you respond, Tommy, for anyone just tuning in, the Soto share player that Tommy unveiled yesterday and is tweeting about constantly is that the Mets and the Yankees should just simply share Juan Soto. I told Tommy that idea was so freaking dumb that he should open his Lugauer with it and do a full hour on it. He didn't have the balls to do it. Anyhow, continue on.
Lockbox. Yeah, so Juan Soto would play for both teams next year and for the course of his contract over 15 years. Hal Steinbrenner, Steve Cohen, they split the bill. He plays all his games at Citi Field. He plays all his games at Yankee Stadium. He never has to travel. He can make over $1 billion. Boris is happy. Soto's happy. The Yankees and Mets and all their fans are happy. It blocks him from going to a rival.
Yeah.
It's like a custody share, a Soto share.
Fair enough. We all know how dumb it is. We're just all disappointed
in
that,
my plan.
As my wife pointed out, just disappointed he didn't open his
show.
Will you open with it today?
I can't do an entire show around today.
When you start at 6:30, what are you opening with?
You got to have a little bit of like, I don't know.
What are you opening with at 6:30
today? I will likely open with the Giants, Daniel Jones, but you want me to do an hour plus on the Soto share.
Yes.
You really do.
Yes.
Because you want people to yell at me. I don't know if people actually are taking it seriously.
You'll get mocked.
Well, that I don't.
Why do you want to get mocked?
Because it gives them attention.
It's a great idea, though. You have to
leave your cult, Tommy.
No. They're in for life.
You think this is the moment, Tiki, where they leave the positive Tommy cult?
The positive posse?
They'll start saying that Kool-Aid spike, man.
Nah. Yeah.
This feels like that Dr. Dre Eminem song where the good and the evil are going back and forth.
They're fighting with each other.
It's a great idea.
Sean's got a Cinco de 5-0 coming up in a few minutes. More of your phone calls.